Thankful for a beautiful day. I know we got a little drizzle, but it's all right. Knock some of the pollen down for me. I'll take it. I'm thankful for it. So before we get started, I'm going to ask Brother Chris Mitchell, would you open us up with a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Spirit of God that pricked our hearts one day and that we believed, and that's all it took. Thank you for the simplicity of the gospel, for the power of thy word, and for the Spirit of God that seeks no attention but to bring us to Christ. And we pray for the pastor, give him the words to say, give him thy words from thy word, and may the Spirit move among us, and may we see some visitors dropping at every service. Thank you for this beautiful day and the rain and this wonderful building that we have, safe from the elements. And just thank you for all that you do for us every day, that so much of it we don't even realize. But one day when we enter into the heavenly realm, we'll know all that Christ did for us all the time. But help us to be thankful in the midst of even our ignorance. And just praise you. Give all the glory to you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. You would turn with me to page 402. If you're able, I'd ask you to please stand with me and sing Like a River Glorious. Page 402. 795, Pass Me Not.
Here this morning is that we're going to try to do something for our police officers and firefighters in Catasauqua. So we're trying to put together a small little bag. I got a list here in the bulletin of some things that you might like to donate. Whatever donations you like to give to the police or firefighters, just please put on that back table back there. We'll need those donations by next Sunday. Sorry for just a short amount of time for the donations, but some things just got caught up with me. So if you'd like to donate, we'll just put it back during that back table, and then we'll put it in those bags. The Lord has graciously blessed Brother Wally, Miss Sue back there, donated all those gift cards to the church for to go to police officers, firefighters. So, Brother, I thank you for that. I thank you for that kind donation.
Wonderful.
And Lord willing, we'll be able to get those to the police officers and firefighters. Pray that God will bless those bags, maybe deal with some of them about their souls and where they stand with God and truth as we try to get it over to the chief the second week of May. The mowing schedule, so anybody's interested in mowing, I put the Brother Ralph, thank Ralph for that. He put together that sheet. We got it back during that back board. So if you're interested in helping out with mowing the churchyard, you don't have a key or you need access to the mower and all that, just get with me and we'll take care of that. Amen.
All right, this song goes along with what I was briefly talking about this morning, about just being so blessed having so much to be thankful for every day. The Lord blesses us all in more ways than we even stop to think about. We get blessed in ways that we don't even actually realize. Kind of like when you were saying this morning, you know, the Lord laid it on his heart about that red light, and he missed that accident because of that. And, you know, the Lord laid it on his heart. But there's a lot of times the Lord keeps us from things that we don't even realize, and we're blessed. Just in the things I can think of in a day, I'm blessed beyond measure. I don't deserve a thing. I don't even deserve the heaven I'm on my way to, but I'm super thankful that I have a God in heaven that loves me, cares for me, and puts up with me. Because ask my wife, it's a tough job, it's a tough task. The only two that can handle it is the wife that God appointed to me and God himself, because I'm a tough cookie. But I'm thankful for a God that loves me and never gives up on me, and I just feel blessed every single morning. So we're going to turn to page 624. We're going to sing Count Your Blessings. If you would, stand with me, and we'll sing Count Your Blessings, page 624. All right, we're going to sing this one a cappella. Page 624. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath.
Bible this evening as we continue our study in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 5 tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 tonight. And we'll pick up here in verse number 14 again. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 14, the Bible says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity again this evening. Lord, I ask for your help. Lord, I ask for your direction and guidance. Lord, that you just give wisdom and help. And Lord, just help us to receive what you have in your word here. Dear God, help us to glean from it. Help us, Lord, to have ears to hear, eyes to see, Lord, and hearts to receive, dear God, what is proclaimed from your holy scriptures. Lord, again, just lead, guide, and direct, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So Paul, again, here gives an exhortation, a warning out, a statement to those there at the church of Thessalonica. And he says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, to warn them that are unruly." That's the first one we looked at a few weeks ago about being unruly and individuals that are unruly, basically individuals that are ungovernable. They're turbulent. They disregard restraint. And we looked at how sometimes, I mentioned it even this morning, how sheep sometimes can be ungovernable in a sense, and how you need a strong, if you're going to keep a pasture with them, in certain instances, a strong fence in order to keep them in from going into areas that could destroy themselves. The Bible says here that to warn them that are unruly, but then it goes on to say, it says to comfort the feeble-minded. We kind of looked at that situation there a couple weeks ago as well, of those that are feeble-minded, those that may be a little bit unstable, need a little support, a little strength, a little guidance, to help those and comfort those that are feeble-minded. And then it goes on to say, and we looked at last week, about supporting the weak and being patient towards all men. These are very important principles in the Bible that I think sometimes we may just read on through and overlook, but I believe that God would have us to place great emphasis on what Paul's talking about here to the church there at Thessalonica, to support the weak and to be patient towards all men. And then he goes into verse 15 and he says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man," basically not taking vengeance on someone because of something that was done to you and you desiring to get back at them because they showed you evil, thus you will show them evil. And Paul says, do not render that. Do not recompense back to what has been done to you. But he goes on to say, but ever follow that which is good. You see, we ought to be good doers. We ought to be good people. We ought to be good Christians. We ought to do those things that are right, both among ourselves, Paul says, but then also to all men. We ought just to be good to all men, not rendering evil for evil unto any man. Now take your Bible, look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and look at verse number 28. Acts 20, the book of Acts, and chapter 20, verse number 28. Paul says to support the weak. Support the weak. Acts 20, verse 28. Acts 20, 28. The Bible says here, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock." Paul says, "Take heed to yourselves and all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which ye have purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." Paul goes on to say, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." These things were heavy upon Paul's heart as he gives this instruction to this church here at Ephesus. He tells them to be careful, take heed, watch, especially to the leadership, watch for those that God's put you over, oversee the church, feed the church, and realize that the church was purchased with the very blood of God. That's why the church is so important. He tells Timothy that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. That's why church is so important. We ought to put a great emphasis upon the church, because not only is a church a building that we meet in and gather together, but the church is also the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ, which Christ Jesus had purchased with his own blood, which was God's blood. But he gives a warning about the church, and that you feed the church and you encourage and help the sheep within the church, the flock. He says, be careful and know this to those that are there, to realize that after he departs, that he knows, Paul says, I know that after I depart from you, those that I love, those that I care for, after I depart from you, be aware, dear Christian believers, that grievous wolves are going to enter in among the flock. And one way you know that they're grievous wolves is they will care nothing about the flock or the brethren that are in the church. They have no care for it. They will talk down about others in the church. They will not spare the flock. They won't spare the sheep. And he says in verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise. So not only in a church do you have to worry about grievous wolves entering, you have to worry about men that are within your own church, he tells them, that they'll arise after I'm gone. See, they won't arise while Paul is there. They're not going to arise and cause the situation while the apostle Paul is there in their midst. Paul says, I've spent 3 years, day and night, with tears, trying to tell you these things, that after I leave, there's going to rise up within your very midst men who will try to draw you astray, he says here in verse number 30, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. He says, therefore, watch. The space of 3 years I've tried to warn you night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able. You see what this says here? Look what he says. I commend you. I give you into God's hands and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You see, the purpose of a church is, and a preacher and those that teach and preach within a church is to hopefully build you up, to strengthen you, and to help you have an inheritance there someday over in heaven to all them that are sanctified. Paul goes on to say in verse 33, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands, Paul says, have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support, look what he says, the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. You see, Paul tells the church here as he's finishing up, one of the last things he says before they kneel down and pray and he leaves from their presence, one of the last things that he leaves them with there in verse 35, Paul says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, kind of looking back what we looked at this morning, laboring in the work of God. He says, so laboring, ye ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. What did Jesus say? Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. I'll say this. It's more blessed to give. It's a blessing when individuals give physical things or food or clothing or something tangible that you can put in your hands. But I would think that something's even more blessed to give is yourself to others. To give of yourself to others. Like we looked at this morning, not thinking about you, but thinking about others and to support the weak. Take your Bible, look over at Job chapter 4. Supporting the weak, speaking, rendering evil to no man if they rendered evil to you. Look at Job chapter 4, and I want you to look at verse number 1. Job 4 verse 1. Eliphaz here speaking to Job, the first one to open his mouth and talk to Job after Job started talking. But look at Job chapter 4, verse number 1. Job 4, 1. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, if we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? He says this then about Job, behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. Look what Eliphaz, he basically here in a sense gives a compliment to Job, and Eliphaz himself even recognizes the life that Job lived and the testimony that Job gave
in a sense that Job had a heart to instruct others. Job had within his heart to try to strengthen those that had weak hands. And by Job's, look what the Bible says in verse 4. By Job's words, it says, "Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees." Job's words that he spoke encouraged someone that was either falling or about to fall. And as Job spoke those words to those individuals, he, by his words, helped lift them up and to keep them from falling. He supported the weak. He strengthened the hands of the weak. He supported individuals that were falling by his very words that he spoke. You see, the words that we speak, brethren, have power in them. The Bible says in Proverbs that death and life are in the power of the tongue. We must realize as Christians that what we say, what comes out of our mouth, can either keep someone from falling or could it be the very words that pushes them over the cliff. Our words carry weight. Take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 21. Support the weak. Well, how can you support the weak? You can support the weak by the words that you speak. Proverbs chapter 18, and look at verse number 21. Proverbs 28, verse 21. Look what the Bible says here in Proverbs 28, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of a tongue. You know, am I not in the right place? What did I say? Yeah, I'm a little messed up. I'm a little off tonight. You're correct. It should be 18:21. Thank you, brother. Thank you all. Appreciate it. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Yes, that's what I was going to say. Thank you. There was about 2 or 3 years ago, it might have been longer than that, there was a young lady, and they actually took her up. I don't know if she was found guilty or not. I can't remember. But basically, she had a boyfriend, and he was struggling with depression. He was struggling with depression so bad that he was texting her one day, and he was contemplating suicide. You remember what I'm talking about? And she was texting him, and she's like, "Yeah, go ahead and do it. Just end it. It's not worth it. Yeah, end your life." This is supposed to be a girl that loves him and cares for him. And she's encouraging him to take his life, and guess what he did? Now, was she found guilty? Do you remember? So I know they arrested her and it went to trial because they were going to charge her with some type of manslaughter because she encouraged him to take his own life. You see, the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue is very, very powerful. Take your Bible, same chapter, look back at verse 4. Proverbs 18, verse 4. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Verse number 7, or verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. There is much power in the tongue. Take your Bible, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10. The book of Ecclesiastes. Remember, support the weak. And Job had the reputation of supporting the weak and supporting those that were falling by the words that he spoke. Ecclesiastes 10, and look at verse number 12. Ecclesiastes 10, 12. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. That's a very important verse right there. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. How are you going to know when someone's speaking to you in the wisdom of God's word or in God's wisdom that's been imparted to them? The Bible says here, Solomon says, that a wise man's mouth will be gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. Also, he says here in verse 14, a fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? You can't talk with a fool. You can't reason with a fool because they are wise in their own conceits. And their mouth is full of words and it's just blup. It's out like that. A fool does not think before they speak. It just comes out what's on their mind. There's no restraint. There's no governor. There's no filter. It just comes out. That's one of the signs of a sick sheep. One of the signs of a sick sheep is, I got to be careful here tonight. It ain't as bad as some other brothers that talk up here. So amen. Sick sheep. Amen. It's one of the, I don't know if I can go on now. You know, brethren, sometimes it's hard talking in front of people. It's hard talking in front of people. And it's funny. If you've never talked or spoke a lot in front of people, people come up and say, well, you said this and you said that. Well, yeah, I probably did. Because, I don't know, if some of you have preached and taught, even women, if you've taught, I know some of you in here were teachers. Sometimes you're teaching or you're preaching and you're thinking three thoughts ahead of where you're at and how you want to get there. And so you forget step one, which is where you're at, but you're trying to get step three. And so your things come out of your mouth and you don't even realize it. Yeah. Oh, my. I was thinking, no. And yeah. Amen. Amen. Let's get on here with the message. But the mouth, one of the diseases that really affects sheep bad, to where unless a shepherd gets in there or whoever's watching the flock handles it quickly, is, forgive me for just being rude tonight, but it's diarrhea. And it's very deadly with sheep. It's very deadly with humans. Actually, at one point, I believe in the United States, it was one of the number one killers in the U.S. Because if you have that and you don't stop it, you drain yourself of all your fluids, you dehydrate. It's not a good situation. There used to be a medicine on the counters. Do you remember what it was called, Melanie? No. This is years back. It had what did it have in it? Opium in it. And it was sold over the counter. Supposedly, it stopped you in your tracks. But they, literally. They took it off the market because it had opium and people were abusing it. But supposedly opium is a great diuretic. Did I say that right? I didn't say that right. My wife's shaking her head. She's like, just be quiet. I can see her face. Be quiet. Move on. But it's bad for sheep. It's bad for humans. To where you can drain yourself literally. And if you get so dehydrated, it affects your life. But a fool's mouth is full of words. He can't stop talking. Blah, 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 blah. It comes out. And the Bible says that that's a fool's, it's his words. And, you know, sometimes you speak things that you wish you'd go back and you could change. But they're already out. And you can't take it back. And once you say it, there's no returning from it. You could try to make it right, which you ought to do, but it's out there and it's now in the utter end of the heart. So be careful of our words. Let our words support the weak rather than tear the weak down. Look at Psalm 109 real quick this evening in verse 22. Psalm 109 in verse 22. Supporting the weak. Paul says to support the weak. Comfort those that have a feeble mind. Psalm 109, and look at verse 22 as David speaks here. David was quite a man. I love reading about David. I love the stories of David. He is one of my favorite people in the Bible. It's grieving every time you read through his story, the time that he fell. But I love David. And David had a lot going on, the Bible says. And David says here in Psalm 109, verse 22, David says of himself, he says, "For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me." David says, David, the great man David, David that had the courage to take out a lion and kill a bear to recover that lamb out of their mouths. David, the man of God who was willing to go take on Goliath and showed no fear. David, the man of courage who would go out and fight the battles of God. David, the man who loved the Lord, I believe, with all his soul, heart, soul, mind, and strength. David, the man of God who was close to the Lord. David, that had such a walk with God, could get to a point in his life to where he says, "For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me." Now, if that could happen to David, obviously it could happen to us as Christians, as believers. Thus, as we are as we have fellowship with one another and we talk to one another, we need to recognize and sometimes take heart and have the discernment to realize that there may be a brother or sister who is poor and needy, not necessarily physically with physical things, but within their spirit. They're poor and they have a needy spirit and their heart is wounded within them. In order to be careful with our words. Proverbs 18:14 says, "But a wounded spirit, who can bear?" A wounded spirit, who can bear? If you ever do any reading about POWs in Vietnam or in World War II, there were some men that were strong men physically, and they could take a lot of punishment as a prisoner of war physically upon their bodies. I mean, they could take a beating and keep going on. But some of those other prisoners said that they would realize when a prisoner was about to break is when they could no longer laugh at something. Even in the worst of conditions as a prisoner of war, and even as Christians that were taken captive as prisoners in communist nations, Hardin Popoff said this. He was a preacher who was put in a communist prison. He said he knew when a brother or somebody in a prison was about to crack and lose it all is when they can no longer laugh. He said, because even in the worst of conditions, we could always find something to laugh at. And he said, when their spirit was broken and wounded, they were in a dangerous spot. When you wound someone's spirit, it's a dangerous thing. So if we look back at Thessalonians again, he talks about supporting the feeble-minded. Comforting the feeble-minded and supporting the weak. Now, as I close up tonight, how do you know that a sheep, if we're sheep tonight, how do you know that a sheep is weak or is in need of support? One of the things that causes sheep to be weak physically is a disease called rickets. This disease affects the walk of the animal and also its ability to bear weight. You see, this disease comes upon sheep because of a lack of calcium in their diet. And when this calcium is lacking in their diet, their leg bones begin to swell. Their walk becomes lame. Their bones become deformed in such a state that they can no longer bear their weight and walk around. And eventually it causes fractures to basically weaken and demoralize their bones. This disease, like I said, affects their walk and their ability to bear weight. Believer tonight, is your walk affected by the disease of rickets? Is your walk affected by something that you've allowed in your life that is no longer allowing you to bear weight? Are you carrying a load that you no longer can carry? What ought we to do then? Take your Bible, look at Romans chapter 15. You see, rickets affects the legs. It affects the ability to bear weight. So a sheep that has rickets, the sheep that is in a position where their walk is starting to be affected, there's something heavy upon them to where they can no longer bear that weight because of this lack of calcium in their diet. Look what Romans chapter 15, verse number 1 says. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves." You see, if there's a sheep amongst our midst, and you can tell that something is heavy upon them, so much so that it seems to be affecting their walk. They can't bear the weight no more. They can't handle situations like they used to handle situations because of something that is affecting their bone structure. The Bible says here that we as believers, if we see this in our fellow believers, we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. The next disease that makes the sheep weak, and that sheep needs support and help, is called polioencephalomyelitis. Hang on. Polioencephalomyelitis. That's pretty close. It's a very long word. It usually is a digestive condition that impairs thiamine absorption. Basically, something that the thiamine, and I believe it's B1, it's something that is supposed to be in the soil. And it, as it's in the soil, the plants, you're supposed to feed sheep not only legumes, which have deep roots that go down deep and are able to pull this mineral up out of the soil, but a sheep can't have too much of that because it'll affect their diet. They also need grass as well, because this thiamine, if they don't have thiamine, if they don't have this legumes that are grown in these pastures, it's going to affect their ability to digest the food that they eat. You see, it's a digestive condition. And when this occurs in a sheep, they're lethargic. They're weak. They have incoordination. It leads to depression in sheep. It leads to blindness. When they can't completely digest food like they ought to be able to digest food. Thiamine B1 is a specific treatment under supervision of a veterinarian. Animals severely affected respond in varying degrees to this treatment. You see, this disease that I just read about is commonly known as polio in sheep. It's non-infectious and is characterized clinically by blindness, depression, extreme salivation, a coma, and eventually death if not taken care of. This syndrome is related to the diet of the sheep. With this disease, a sheep has trouble digesting its food due to a deficiency in its diet. My question to you this evening as sheep, is the weakness coming about because of something that you're digesting? You see, what are you feeding on, or what you feed on affects your ability to digest what is given to you at church or in other godly places. Take your Bible to a very familiar portion of Scripture, Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. This polio in sheep is a disease that affects the diet because the sheep are feeding on things that are causing them to not be able to digest other things, or they're lacking something that they need. Psalm 1 verse 1, the Bible says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So this disease here in sheep causes sheep to be weak because it affects their digestive system. Another thing that affects sheep is called acidosis grain overload. I mentioned it a little bit Wednesday night, I believe. But this thing is very common in sheep in a sense. It's excessive eating of grain above normal amounts. Sheep will gorge, especially on grain. If you raise sheep in a pasture with grass and legumes, a proper diet in the pasture, they very rarely, they will not overgorge because that is the correct habitat to where they eat. But if you try to shortcut it in right circumstances, as farmers do and shepherds do, and you add grain into their diet, if the grain is not handled the correct way, the sheep will overeat, and it'll affect them to where they'll become lethargic, they'll bloat, they'll have diarrhea, dehydration. Eventually, they'll collapse, and they'll go into a coma and die. The treatment for this is to empty out the rumen in their stomachs. You see, some believers overeat on certain subjects or topics rather than being moderate. Some spend all their time on either prophecy or other situations in the Bible or subjects in the Bible. And rather than getting a balanced diet, they overemphasize something. There are also, in some sheep, they overemphasize certain convictions to others. They're so caught up in what they believe, they fail to see their own sick state. You see, in all these things in our Christian walk, moderation is the key in everything. Moderation is key in all. What is moderation? Moderation is the restraint of violent passions or indulgence of appetite. Eat and drink with moderation. Moderation also means calmness of mind, as to bear prosperity or adversity with moderation. Being able to handle a situation and be moderate in that situation. Are you an immoderate sheep? Because an immoderate sheep that gorges themselves on something that is not good for them will become a sheep that becomes lethargic, bloated, and with diarrhea. And it's not a good situation for that sheep. And that sheep is in a weakened state, and that sheep needs to be supported and helped and brought along to realize that that sheep needs moderation in order for it to recover itself. Another one that's interesting that affects sheep that makes them weak is something called blue tongue. Blue tongue is an insect-transmitted viral disease of sheep. It is particularly damaging in sheep. And if this blue tongue gets within a flock, half the sheep will become infected and usually die. So if this gets in within a flock, it usually kills about half the flock. You say, well, what is blue tongue? Blue tongue is a virus infection that causes inflammation, swelling, and hemorrhaging of the mucous membranes of the mouth, nose, and tongue. Inflammation also and soreness of the sheep's feet are associated with blue tongue. In sheep, the tongue and the mucous membranes of the mouth become swollen, hemorrhagic, and may look red or dirty blue in color, thus giving the disease its name. You know how blue tongue comes about and how it's spread? By gnats. Blue tongue is caused by gnats. And these gnats fly through the flock of the sheep and they bite them on their nose or in their mouth area where their skin is shown. These little gnats, you can barely see, will come in and they'll bite the sheep's nose. And they'll cause an infection so bad that the possibility could kill half of the flock because of this disease. Now, this disease cannot be passed back and forth. It can only pass by those gnats biting each individual sheep. But this disease is so serious because it affects the mouth, nose, and tongue with swelling. It also affects their legs and can paralyze the sheep. Is there something... This question I'll ask this evening. I'm almost done here. Is there something little that is completely paralyzing or even destroying your walk with the Lord? You see, these little gnats are so little you can barely see them, but they can paralyze and wipe out a flock of sheep. Take your Bible and look at Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 23. Matthew 23, 23. You know, the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things that cause us problems. It's the little things that will get us distracted and off course. And it's the little things that we ought to be put the emphasis on, in the sense of taking care of the little things. Taking care of the little things. Making sure the little things don't cause destruction and desperation, taking care of those little biting gnats. Look at Matthew 23, verse 23. The Bible says here, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and of anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." He says here, Jesus says to him, "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." You see, the Pharisees had a supposed walk with God, and everything on the outside looked good. It looked right. It looked okay. But within, Jesus says, is within, you're full of dead man's bones. You've cleansed the outside of the cup, but you forgot the inside of the cup needs to be cleansed as well. And see, what I'm saying here is tonight is that the outward walk could look all right, but how is the inward walk? How is the heart? Is something little creeping in that's destroying our walk and basically taking the life away from us? You see, little gnats can cause big problems. Little gnats can cause big problems. Flip over to Matthew chapter 27 and look at verse 3. Little gnats cause big problems. You know what's different between a spider and a gnat? A spider, you can usually... Now, there's some small spiders, but then most spiders, you can see them. And you can take care of them. But, brother, there ain't nothing more frustrating than being at a church picnic or a picnic in general, and those little gnats are flying around in your face, they get in your nose, they get in your ears. Now, I don't know about how it is up here, but, brother, you were down at Paris Island, right? What time of year were you there?
Wintertime.
Wintertime, yeah. You go to South Carolina, you go to Paris Island, Beaufort, South Carolina, during the summertime. You want to talk about something that'll basically drive you insane? They call them no-see-ums. You can barely see those little gnats, but they always find a way to get in your nose. They always find a way to get in your ear or in your eye. And they are one of the most annoying things that there possibly could be, because they fly around. You can swipe at them, but they're like magnificent flyers. They're like F-16s that are this big. And they find a way how to deliver their payload or their weapons into your nose, ears, and eyes. But it's the same thing that affects these sheep. These little gnats get on their nose. It affects their nose, it affects their mouth, it affects their whole facial area. And it's those little gnats that just cause such problems, because they're annoying and they're so little. But look at Matthew 27 real quick and look at verse 3. Matthew 27 verse 3. "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, departed, and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, It's not lawful for us to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. But we won't take this silver back because it's the price of blood, but we're about to kill an innocent man." You see, they were concentrating on the little thing. The little thing they were concentrating on, and they made that little thing such a big thing, and the thing that was a big thing, they considered it a little thing. I'll kill a man and think nothing of it, yet I'll strain at this gnat here of, I can't receive this money back from Judas because it's the price of blood. And it causes confusion within the flock, as them as leaders, religious leaders of the time. Straining at a gnat, swallowing camel, little things cause big problems. And we need to be careful of those little things that creep in our life, because it may just about bring weakness in our life. The last thing tonight is called foot rot. support the weak. This is another devastating disease among sheep. And sheep that had foot rot need a lot of support, and it causes a lot of weakness in them. You see, foot rot is one of the most economical, devastating diseases in the sheep industry. It's caused by the interaction of two anaerobic bacteria. I'm not going to say the name of bacteria, but it lives within the animal's hoof. And the way the animal gets this in their hoof is because of the soil they inhabit or by stepping in their own manure. Foot rot is highly contagious. It causes lameness in either one or more feet. And it causes this foot rot, not only causes lameness, it puts off, from what I've read about, it puts off such a foul odor to those that are around those sheep that have foot rot. It smells bad. And it's highly contagious. How is our walk with the Lord? What kind of smell are we releasing or not releasing to others? You see, that in order to support a weak sheep, a sheep that's got foot rot, that is in a bad position, the cure and help for that foot rot is to wash that foot, that sheep's foot in a special concoction of water and soap that they bathe that foot in, and they soak it in there for a while, and then eventually trim back the hooves on that sheep in order to solve the problem of the foot rot. You see, take your Bible and look at 1 John chapter 1. Last verses here. 1 John 1, foot rot. Foot rot causes weakness in sheep. Well, how is it taken care of? How is it solved? How do you support someone that might have foot rot? They need the Word of God to cleanse that infected area. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Verse number 6 of 1 John 1, if we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And here's the word I like, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So how is a sheep that's weak with foot rot receive cleansing in the physical realm? He receives cleansing, or that you receives cleansing, by a washing of their hooves, of a trimming back of their hooves, of a soaking of their hooves in water and a special concoction that's made in there. And the same way that we find forgiveness and cleansing in our life and any foot rot that we might allow to occur in our own life that bring about a weakness in our walk with God is cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ and also by the Word of God. Take your Bible and look at John chapter 15 real quick here. So what might cause foot rot? Walking in areas you probably ought not to be walking in. Brethren, I don't think it's ever smart, and please forgive me tonight for being rude, but it's never smart to walk around in manure. Not unless you have to. Now I know some farmers, you got to do it. If you got a chicken pen, you got it. If anybody ever kept chickens, we've had chickens before, and unfortunately sometimes chickens are very dirty animals. There's no other way around it. And they're not very clean. And chickens just decide to go to the bathroom wherever they want to go to the bathroom. That's the way it is. So if you have a chicken coop, you have to go in there and you have to clean that coop out. But you know what? Chicken coops can also be very dangerous. As you clean them out, you can't spend a lot of time in there. Or if you do, you got to wear a mask because of the nitrates. Am I right with that? The nitrates within their manure can cause problems, some serious problems. It's not wise to be in those types of situations unless you absolutely have to for a purpose and a cause. Look at John chapter 15, verse 19. What causes foot rot? John 15, verse 19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will also keep yours also. Jesus said the world's going to hate you. The world's going to have nothing to do with you. But you know what a problem is a sheep, when a sheep goes back to the world. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. We'll close here tonight. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. I guess what I'm closing out with here is one of the ways a sheep might become weak as a believer is they're walking in areas that's not very healthy for them to walk in. And it's causing foot rot. And it's causing their walk to be lame. And the sad thing about foot rot is that it's very contagious. And it can affect other sheep as well. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll close with these verses. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past, look what the Bible says here, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, the way of this world, the thought process of the world, the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I'm not going to go to the other scripture, but it talks about in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. A Christian that goes about walking around in the world in places they ought not to be walking around in, it's going to affect their walk and it's going to affect their feet. And it's going to cause them to be lame. And eventually it's going to deal with them in a physical manner to where they're not going to be able to walk anymore unless it's dealt with by the washing of God's word and the blood of Jesus Christ. So I just wanted to go over tonight some things real quickly of what makes sheep sick, what weakens sheep down. And brethren, like I said this morning, I cannot believe how many parasites, how many insects, how many viruses, how many diseases that sheep are prone to. It almost seems like the list is endless of things that affect sheep. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of those that are weak. We ought to, as Paul says, support the weak. And as Job, may our words always be words that are gracious to encourage someone to go on and not to quit in their walk with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity this evening. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your precious Son, Jesus Christ, who went to that cross 2,000 years ago. Lord God, you became a man and dwelt among sinners. Lord, the reproaches fell upon you, dear God, it fell upon you, Lord. You bore the infirmities of the weak, dear God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, and I'm so thankful for it. And Lord, so I pray tonight, dear God, that you would help us with our walk. Lord, if we're strong sheep tonight, Lord, I pray you'd help us to bear the infirmities of the weak. Lord, I pray you'd help us this week to guard. Lord, David prayed, Lord, to set a watch before his mouth. Lord, help us to set a watch before our mouth. Dear God, help us, Lord, this week to be careful what we speak. Lord, help us to recognize and remember, dear Lord, that our words carry much weight. Lord, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and help us to be aware of that. Lord, help us to say those things as Job or it said there in Ecclesiastes, the words that will be gracious and encourage someone on in the cause and the fight of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to support the weak. And we pray these things now in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, brethren. I'd like to close with a hymn, if you'll allow me, this evening. I'd like to close with a hymn tonight. Page number, let me find it here real quick. Page number 801.
Abel stand. Page number 801. Like Brian, this is one of my favorite hymns. Page 801, How Great Thou Art. Page number 801, you're able to stand. Page number 801, How Great Thou Art.
My soul, my Savior God, to Thee. you all have to worry about and think about in your own lives and hold ourselves back when we see things coming and try to keep control of this heart of ours, mm-hmm. which is very hard to do in with the tongue, which is an exceedingly hard thing to quiet down. For our pride mostly takes us into places we should never go. We thank you for the Lord. Thank you for the Lord Jesus that you sent to us for all these things that we have wrong within us, because without him we have no hope. We have no Savior. We just have an unclear road to walk without him. We pray that you would be with all of us on our way home, and that we'd see each other again on Wednesday. And we just thank you that we have a place to meet. You know, have these people here amongst us that are, as we was told before, our true brethren that are saved. And thank you. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.
Amen. This love the Lord will see you Wednesday.